In Jesus' name, you and you alone are faithful. And Lord, we thank you again for your faithful calling to our life. And Lord, whom you've called, you've justified. And Lord, whom you've justified, hallelujah, you said, and I have glorified. Now, Lord, let us walk in this. Let us walk in this wondrous reality of who we are in Christ. Lord God, that we are now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, Lord, thank you, God, for this mind of Christ that lives in us, that we know that when we see you, we will be like you. And Lord, we thank you for this message, and we thank you for this promise, and we thank you for this love, Lord God, that keeps us. And Lord, we're confident in your love, and your love alone. And we're confident in your faithfulness and your faithfulness alone. And Lord, thank you again. You've brought us this way. And just like you brought those out and you prepared where they were going to put their tents. Well, Lord, if you prepared where they're going to put a tent, how much more so are you preparing where you put us? And Lord, here we are. You put us in a place to receive, to wear, and to reign with a crown. Wake us up. Oh, God, wake us up. Lord, what you have given, may we never, ever take for granted. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, God. Going to a familiar portion of Scripture this morning, John 3, verse 16. And it says there in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And listen to that, so loved the world. And here's how he so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not about him, but in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we've all heard the expression said so many times, the language of love. Well, here's the language of love. And this is, I will tell you, without a doubt, this word is the only language of love there is. All of these other loves that we hear and think of and all, they're natural. They can, for a time, be pleasing. They can make you happy, but they'll always fade. Only the love of God endures and abides forever. Now, this word, this wondrous language of love, it loved us in beginning. Isn't that marvelous? The language of love wasn't something on the fly. It always was and always is. And God's great love, know this, brothers and sisters, he gives it freely. And God's great love loved us even when we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's how much he so loved. That's how much he gave. And then we think of, well, God tells us that he had to love us. Well, you know why God had to love us? Because God is love. God is love. That's what's so beautiful about God and our God is that this is God's plan. I'm love. I have to love. I forgave your iniquity, your sin. I forgave your sin for my sake. Know the word of God. Now, we can sit there and say, oh, you forgave it for my sake, meaning me, Jesse. No, he forgave my sin for his sake. That's the intimacy and the heart of God. God didn't have to do that. We think of a God like in our little minds. Well, he just reigns supreme and he can do what he wants and he can do this and he can do that. God specifically defined that everything would be about his love. Everything. Because he is love. And if you know God, you know love. And you know he's a lover. And you think about these things. That's why people that are so ignorant, well, how could God do this? If God's love, how could God do this? Because God has a plan of love in those that have received that love. And let me tell you something, even all this that's going on, let me tell you something, his judgment will magnify his love. And it will. Because it's going to take all of this to establish that for what he loves to rule and reign with him. Oh, yes. It's all part of the grand plan of love. Now, this is the God that had to love us. This is the God who is love. And this is the God that forgave our sins for his sake. And by the grace of God, think of this, his love waited in ages past to show us this grace. That's how he loved. It just abided and waited and was patient to show us grace. And so beautiful for each and every one of our own lives, God is patient with us to continue to show us grace. We love that verse in Isaiah, don't we? Isn't that beautiful? He just waits for us to show us grace. Some people think that God's got this big old eye on you just waiting for you to fail. God's got this big old eye on you waiting for just to nail you. And all he's doing is just waiting to get your attention. I'm going to give you grace. Now, you think about the love of God, and this is what we're speaking of today. The love of God finds its very life in giving itself away. Think of that. The love of God finds its very life in giving itself away. That's why God gave freely his son. Because he's love, and he had to give himself away. And Jesus gave himself away for us. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. Now love, in giving itself away, even though it possesses nothing because it's freely given itself away, it yet possesses everything. Think of that in your own life. By giving yourself away in God's love, you possess everything. And I thank the Lord so much of this and thinking how marvelous and wonderful the love of Jesus is, especially what it does in us. In us. Once again, thinking of us, we are of the body of Christ. Praise God. So we understand that this is all done in Christ. But when we enter into that love of God, we become spiritual. Think of that. Isn't that marvelous to think that it's the love of Christ that makes you spiritual? It's not your great knowledge. It's not your great actions. It's not your great ability. It's not how long you've done anything. It's the love of Christ that makes you spiritual. And you think about that love of Christ. It causes you to be a restorer. See, the love of Christ, I thank the Lord, how it changes us. I stand back and am amazed at Christ in my life. I thank the Lord I can be honest about my life. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. And without the continuance of Jesus in my life will continue to bumble and fail and all of those different things. But with the love of Christ in my life, I thank God. I've turned away from so many things. I don't want to be a brawler. I don't want to be a critic. I want to encourage people in the Lord. I want to love people in the Lord. I want to be a vessel, hallelujah, with the anointing of the comfort of the hope of Jesus. I thank God. I believe I'm in a place where this is a bunch of alabaster boxes being broken forth on the body of Christ. Amen? I'll tell you what, I've been around it, and it wasn't a bunch of alabaster boxes that were being broken out on the body of Christ. There were hammers, and as Brother Hill would say, being turkeys with pecking one another to death. And that's what they do, and they have to have their beaks cut off. But I thank God. There's something about the love of Jesus. And as Brother Hill used to say, he said, it just makes you love everybody. Amen. But it makes you love in the truth everybody. You love them in the truth, and you want more in the truth for them. And it's not a forceful thing, but by the grace of God, just the opportunity that we have. It's the anointing of the body. It's just like when we have pains in our body. I see ones that come in here. Brother Bill's got that brace on his neck. I see ones come in here that have had shoulder surgeries or things, and they have something to support it. There's things that you do for different parts of your body that don't feel good, and it's always an anointing. I don't get a bruise on my finger and say, dumb finger, and then just cut it off. No, I go and run and get ice, and I put it on there to get the swelling down. And then sometimes rub it and whatever it needs to be done to make it feel better and get it loose and all of these different things. I'm thankful for my body. I want to take care of my body. How much more so for the body of Christ, brothers and sisters? And this is this marvelous love and this anointing that God has given us. And I'm telling you, this is true. Turn right on over there to 1 John. As it says in chapter 4 of 1 John, reading from verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Let us. See, just let the Lord do it. Don't try to love. Don't force love. Let us. For love is of God. And are we not of God? Praise God, we're born of God. Hallelujah. We have the life of Jesus Christ. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this, listen to this, was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we, that's you and me, might live through him. That we might love through him. Because if we're living through him and he is love, if we're going to love it all, we're going to love through him. Now, think of this, that we might love through him. That's Christ in me, isn't it? And I thank God Christ liveth in me. Amen? Think of what the Word of God says. The law is fulfilled in one thing, that you love one another. The Word of God went on to say that, how can I say I love the Lord when I have not seen him? When I don't love my brother whom I see. Amen. And I thank God for just the beauty of what he wants and how obvious what he wants. We mentioned about the Church of Philadelphia. Those that have come and have learned and understand. That's a company, praise God. And that's a part of the body of Christ that won't go into the tribulation. You think of how the Lord has graced us. We're not over there in Ukraine today running away from bombs and bullets and all of those different things. We're protected from it. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be, there's coming on the world. It's going to make that, and I kid you not, it's going to make that look like a nothing. When the Lord, I'll tell you what, when he takes his bride, it's going to break forth. And it says there, in a very short time, the blood will run to the horse's bridle. It says that men will seek death and they will not find it. They'll cry out for the rocks to fall upon them. Brothers and sisters, we best be ready. And I thank God for all of the fringe benefits of not being here. But I'm looking for the one benefit I've been looking for since the Holy Ghost met me at that well. And I'm looking, praise God, to look into the glorious face of the glory of God, my bridegroom Jesus. And I'll see him by his grace on that glorious morning. And praise God, as it says about that Church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, they will be taken before that time. They won't enter into that judgment. They won't even face that harshness. By the grace of God, the Lord will keep them from that hour of temptation. So that we might love through him. Now let me tell you something. Christ living in us, the love of God living in us. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is how much love. In 2 Corinthians 5, reading from verse 14, it says, therefore, the love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that keeps you. You don't keep you. It's the love of Christ that holds you in the truth. You don't hold you in the truth. This word constraineth, it means in a way a prisoner of. Thanks be to God, he keeps me from myself. Amen? So it is this love that constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, listen to this, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So see, this is what love can do. This is why we should be so thankful to God for Jesus. We're not living to ourselves anymore. Amen. Thank you, God. I know who I'm living for. I know who's living in me. I get Christ in me is my life. I know who I am in Christ. I know my identity. I know my citizenship. I know I'm a son of God. I know that I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. I know. Hallelujah, what we know. Now, thank you, Lord. His hand so upon us. How much love. It's so tremendous. And it's so much love. My life, by God's grace, is not in that selfish disaster anymore. And if you're living in a selfish disaster, you don't have to live there today anymore. And the answer is the love of Christ. And let me tell you something. Selfishness is a very subtle thing. And it is. And the selfishness, we'll just put it one way. When we deny the fullness of what Christ wants to do in our lives, whatever's preventing us from that is a selfish thing. We can be selfish with our own lives. We can be selfish with our time, even with our children. We can be selfish because I need to do this. I have to be selfish because I need to put this in order. Let me tell you something. You need the love of God to reign in your life. And I'll tell you what. When that begins to happen with that love, your laser focus will be on the love of God for yourself, for your home, and for your brother. And I thank God he's given us the power of the Holy Ghost to perform this. The very power of the Holy Ghost. Don't you look at your life and see the miracles that God does all the time? And I mean that. I mean, just looking day to day, all these different things, how he keeps you in the truth, how he's, again, just stopped you in whatever it is. And sometimes he stops you with a great failure. And he stops you, praise God, with a thorn that he sends. Praise God. As we rejoiced last week, something that you never even knew that you were capable of. And God sometimes has to show you that flesh is capable of anything. My love constrains you. My love constrains you. You don't realize where you would be but for God. You don't realize what you would be doing but for God. And you can think that you're walking right and you've got your life together and you can think of all these happy thoughts. I love you enough to tell you. If this love is not growing in your life, you're missing it. And it is preaching and speaking truth in love that you grow up into him in all things. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. That's why it's those that worship him in spirit and in truth. You understand this, amen? He didn't just want somebody that was this intellectual that could understand the word of God. He wanted someone that he could be intimate with. The intimacy of the Lord. Think of all the things that God showed us, whether it was the proposal at a well, whether it was Esther to be brought into a kingdom and come out before a king, and he was just smitten. I mean, this was a pauper, wasn't even a peasant. This was a one that was an orphan, all of these different things. And she stole the heart of the king to the extent of him saying, "What's mine is yours." Why do you find those stories in the Bible? Because they're not a story. That's the heart of the lover of your soul. That's what he's trying to convey to us. It could have been a nice story that he just took her in and said, "Oh, you'll be my queen and that's great. I'll take care of you and all of this. And I'm just going to decide everything and you sit there." No, this is one that brought you in and said, "I'm giving you everything." Because I set it up like that because I'm love. I'm God and I'm love. I'm God and I'm in love. And I'm in love with you. Just awaken. And see, that's the mercy and that's the grace, praise God, that has to be received or you'll never come to this. That's why this message, praise the Lord, can't be, cannot be hindered with a little leaven here, a little bit of you doing, a little bit of magnifying your flesh. God forbid that would ever enter into this place. It is grace. It is grace alone. It is grace that's going to be magnified. And I thank God once again for the alabaster boxes. And let's note who poured that out on Jesus' feet. She was a prostitute, a lady of the night. As they said to him, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. He was in, if you will, he was in a trance of love with her. And when that wicked thought came out, it brought him out of it. Don't you touch her. All I know is one thing. You've come in here and said a lot of words. You've come in here and acted about a lot of things. All I know is since she's been here with me, all she's done is poured out her tears upon my feet. Who do you think he wants? I want more of this message. It's the power of God because God is love. It's the power of God because that love, praise God, that once and for all, it washed away all my sin. Love made me free. His blood of love, praise God, that set me in the realm of grace. It nailed the law and the ordinances which were against me. As we rejoiced on Friday night, if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. He's so much greater than me. I thank him so much. Praise his name. I can't believe we're not all running around in here right now. But I know our hearts are. Now, since true love, brothers and sisters, gives itself away, the proof of the fullness of God, it's selfless. The proof of the love of God is it does not seek its own. But it allows the word, or it allows this language of love to direct everything in a life. It's the language of love. And see, that's the communion of love, brothers and sisters. It's letting God love us. It's letting the lover of our soul love his lover. You're his lover. That was awfully quiet. You're his lover. I'm glad we read the same Bible. Now, then receiving that love that we're loved with, we love him. And we love him more. And when you receive truly the love of God, you love what he loves more than anything. And you love one another. I know you love me. I know you love me. I mean, I know you love me. I want you to know that. I know it's not, hey, I love you. I mean, I know you love me. And you know I love you. Because we let the lover of our soul love us. That's the difference. That's the first love. That's the groaning. Praise God. The groaning that even builds the more as we gather. Doesn't your heart swell as you come into the church? See one another? Thanking the Lord. Man, we're a lot of good soldiers and we've endured hardness. A lot of wounds out there. A lot of bandages, all of those different things. But oh my. These are the jewels. You're the jewels in his crown. We're the jewels. Because we love grace and mercy. This isn't to build you up in yourself. It's to build us up in the word of his grace. And that's the word of his grace. The magnificence, the masterpiece of his grace. This is us who believe it. Who just praise him for it. And the word of God's never changed. Every one of them that you find in the Old Testament, those that we look to are fathers, our forefathers of faith. How did they become the forefathers of faith? Well, you understand right there, they believed. They believed God in things that seemed impossible. Well, how much more impossible does it seem that you or I could rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ? I'd have a better chance, naturally speaking, of walking 15 feet off the ground here on the air right now in front of you. You understand that? That's more of a possibility, naturally speaking, than me ruling and reigning on the throne of very God, for the rest of eternity. But that is just what so happens, it says in this wondrous word. Isn't that amazing? See, he'll take us to the extent of understanding. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. So anytime your thought and your way begins to creep in to somehow to want to interpret this word, and I'll tell you where that comes from. That comes from a lot of religious organizations. Oh, yes, it does. And it comes from that have seeped into families, that a lot of goodness has happened. But God, let me tell you something, he's after his best. He's after the very best. I mean, come on, we are in that payload of glory. This is what he's seeking. This is the time of the goodly pearl. The merchant that sold all that he had, he gave up everything to have everything. Once again, even Solomon, about that one little Abishag. Think of this. He had all of those wives and all of those concubines. But there was one. If I don't have her, I don't have a kingdom. Once again, one of those Bible stories that just so happened to pop in there and you say, I don't say because I know Paul's gospel and I say, I understand, that's mine. I get that, Jesus, you're speaking to me. It's a metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor. I'm standing right there. I get it. You don't have a kingdom, praise be to God, without me. You see why he sits at the right hand of the throne of God right now? He sits at the right hand of the throne of God right now. There's only one reason he's sitting at the throne, at the right hand of the throne right now. And that's because he is waiting for the one to complete him, to take the throne and rule with him and have his kingdom. It's just, well, my, oh my, how perfect the Holy Ghost can paint. My, oh my, how perfect the Holy Ghost can paint. And that's why I'll continue to tell you, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's wrap it up. Brothers and sisters, when we give ourselves away in love to the truth, amen. In love to the truth, we give ourselves away in love to one another. We love what he loves. And this is truly, I think, the greatest statement of fidelity and virtue and a chaste virgin unto him is to love what he loves. And you know what he loves and you know what he's loving? Is when we're loving one another in bridal fellowship. That's what he loves.
That's what he wants us to do, is to dwell together. And I thank God. That's what's going on. We didn't try. We don't attempt. We don't have special functions for it. By the grace of God, we preach the word of his grace, and it builds it up. This is the masterpiece. Praise God. This is exactly what he wants. He satisfies. And it's wondrous, brothers and sisters, because, see, that was the joy that was set before him. That was the joy. See, if the joy that was set before him was only salvation, there would have been no need ever to send the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. When he died upon that cross, he took the sin. He took it. That sin was done. Praise God. Once and for all, he took all of the sin of the world upon him. All right? So at that point, salvation, freely given, fully finished, in that, completed. Amen. But yet, it didn't end there, did it? There was more. Praise God. And he told his disciples that. And see, his disciples knew, and they had understood, and he had preached to them, and they knew about all of the things of the forefathers of their faith. They knew about that sacrifice that would happen, and that they would take that in each year for the forgiveness of sin, looking for Jesus to come, and here was the Lamb of God, and here he died. And even though everything was finished, it wasn't finished in the sense of, I'm sending now the Holy Ghost. What was finished was, it was all completed, so that everything could come forth. Amen. All the plan of God could come forth in its fullness. Because Jesus is the fullness of the plan of God. The Lamb is the fullness of the plan of God. So here, in all of that, that was finished at that moment. Nope. I'm going to now give the Holy Ghost. In the finished work upon the cross, now, praise God, there must be this finishing of my bride for me. And without that finished work on the cross, there would never be the opportunity for us in this church age to have received the Holy Ghost, to receive the Holy Ghost that Jesus said, I'm going to send him to you. Many things I want to say to you, but you can't understand them. He didn't say we can't understand them. He said you can't understand them. However, when he comes, and he's been with you and shall be in you, and when he's in you, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will take you into all truth. Praise God. And this is what's going on. And thank the Lord, this is what we know. So praise God when he says, it was the joy that was set before me that I endured the cross. You understand now the depth of that joy that was set before him. I'm going to have my wife. I'm that much closer, praise be to God. This is the age that my wife will come out of. I'm going to go to that cross and I'm going to be crucified, hallelujah. And now, praise be to God, I'm going to rise again. I know my Father's going to raise me up. I know the power of my might's going to raise me up. And I know I'm going to ascend in heaven to his right hand, because I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to go get my bride. Think of how beautiful that is. That was the joy that was set before him. I'm going to have my wife. So here is this beautiful joy that was set before him. And it is now, because of that revelation in us, it's the same joy that's set before us. It's bridal love. See, it's bridal love. He knew that his bridal love that he is and he was, I am that I am, now is going to spill forth, praise God, and pour in to my precious vessels that will believe. Now, here we go. No other force can compare, can it? It can't. No other power, praise God. Even Jesus, and I think about this, he prayed, Lord, he said, Father, if this cup would pass before me, if it be thy will, let it pass. But this great love held Jesus to the cross. And this great love holds us to the truth. I believe in that love. That's what holds me in this. I wouldn't be here without the love of Christ. I wouldn't be here without the bridal love of Jesus. I'll tell you, I would not. There's no way any of us would. And there's nothing to be compared to it, but we could talk about all of our lives and in a sense the things that the love of Christ has drawn us out of. That the world would look at and said, why did you do that? How could you have gone that way? I had business people that said, what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what. There was an increase of love like I never knew in 2005. And here I am today. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the wonders of God. And that love, know this for your lives, it changes everything. And the love of Christ is the only thing that can change mankind. It's it. You think about love that changed Paul from the lover of condemnation to the lover of grace. I think about Gideon. Love changed him from a recluse and a pitiful recluse to one of the greatest leaders and motivators of all time of the people of God. And then I want you to think about Peter. It changed, that love changed his heart from a boaster, from a judger of the brethren, to such a precious vessel of mercy that would only praise God for his grace and preaching only the great love of Jesus. And once again, I will tell you, and I will tell you, and I will tell you, I thank God how we start, I thank God how we go on, but all that matters, how did you finish? And I do not want to be some past tense, he ran well. I don't want that. Brothers and sisters, God, in Jesus' name, may we grow more lovely. Amen. God, in Jesus' name, may we preach more truth in love. In Jesus' name, encouraging more in the spirit and truth, and building one another up in the word of his grace. And I thank the Lord today. I believe I even love you a little bit more. And I see a little bit more how much, praise God, he loves you. And oh, thank you, Jesus. How he loves us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your goodness to us. And Lord, this blessed love wherewith we are loved. And thank you again for this joy, the joy that you have that was before you, Lord God, that you endured the cross, that Lord, you have imputed that joy to us. You have given it to us. And Lord, now you're enlightening the eyes of our understanding to take hold of it and to run with that joy and to run in the fullness of that joy and to finish our course with that joy. Lord, thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost that gives us that increase of joy. And Lord, we just love you. And we love you for the love that you've given us for you and for one another. And Lord, may it grow more and more and more till we see your blessed face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.